You're in Open Air with Matt Masters, and this is the Rockin' Rhythm Review. I'll be your host while Jim is on a road trip to Kansas. Jim threw on his black denim trousers and motorcycle boots, put his beloved hound dog Ruby in the sidecar, and went searching for Smokey Joe's Cafe, rumored to have the best beans in Kansas City. Rock and Rhythm's first master songwriting duo couldn't be more polar opposites. One, a hyperkinetic extroverted Jewish hipster, the other, a low-key, taciturn atheist piano ace. But the laws of magnetism note that opposite poles attract, and what drew this pair together was their love of black music and their desire to add to its tradition, not imitate it. On the Rock and Rhythm Review, let's explore the music of Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller. A pivotal sonic force during the 1950s, Lieber and Stoller's work provided a transition from R&B to rock and roll and to a sophisticated pop-oriented rock. More than songwriters, they were producers, label owners, arrangers, and talent scouts. They penned R&B standards, provided rock its laugh track, helped build Elvis into a god, and found legions of admirers from across the pond. Lieber and Stoller songs are some of the most recognizable songs in rock and rhythm, and yet their intentions were little more than to just write some good R&B. East Coast expatriates Mike Stoller and Jerry Lieber first met in L.A. circa 1950. They immediately began collaborating on material for the bustling L.A. R&B scene, huddled on the suitably titled Central Avenue. By 1952, Lieber and Stoller teamed up with rock and rhythm pioneer Johnny Otis and his band singer, Willie Mae Big Mama Thornton, a scarred 300-pound black woman who sang of her trouble with men, though her proclivities ran the other direction. Lieber and Stoller wrote her a song forever associated with Elvis, but the interplay between Big Mama and guitarist Pete Lewis's original is nothing short of definitive. 1952's Hound Dog.
You ain't nothing but a hound. You told me you was high.
days after recording Hound Dog, Lieber and Stoller were back in the studio to record another of their R&B classics with pianist Little Willie Littlefield. Surprisingly, Littlefield's original was not a hit, but the tune proved immortal as Little Richard recorded a raucous version in 1955, and Wilbert Harrison took it all the way to number one in 1959. Little Willie's 1952, K.C. Lovin', a.k.a. Kansas City.
I'm going to Kansas City, Kansas City, here I come. I'm going to Kansas City, Kansas City, here I come. They got a crazy way of loving there, and I'm gonna get me some. I'm gonna be standing on the corner, 12th Street and Vine. I'm gonna be standing on the corner, 12th Street and Vine, with my Kansas City baby and a bottle of Kansas City wine. Well, I might take a train, I might take a plane, but if I have to walk, I'm going just the same. I'm going to Kansas City, Kansas City, here I come. They got a crazy way of loving there, and I'm gonna get myself. Hard much. Pack my clothes, leave at the crack of dawn. I'm going to pack my clothes, leave at the crack of dawn. My old lady will be sleeping and she won't know where I'm gone. 'Cause if I stay with that woman, I know I'm gonna die. Gotta find a brand new baby, and that's the reason why. I'm going to Kansas City, Kansas City, here I come. They got a crazy way of loving there, and I'm gonna get me some. They got a crazy way of loving there, and I'm gonna get me some.
With Hound Dog sparking lawsuits due to the addition of Johnny Otis's name to the writing credits and control issues like having Kansas City retitled K.C. Lovin', in 1953, Lieber and Stoller formed their own publishing and started a record label, Spark. The flagship talent for Spark was the vocal group The Robins, whom Lieber and Stoller wrote for as early as 1951. They felt a 1955 Robins single they wrote had nationwide hit potential. But distribution issues that plagued small labels and a friendship with Ahmet Erdogan enticed the duo to sell Spark and themselves to Atlantic Records. As predicted, it was a national hit. 1955's Smokey Joe's Cafe.
Oh, I, Smokey Joe's Cafe. Oh, I, Smokey Joe's Cafe.
One day while I was eating beans
at Smokey Joe's Cafe,
just sitting digging all the scene
at Smokey Joe's Cafe,
a chick came walking through the door that I had never seen before. At least I never saw her bow
at Smokey Joe's Cafe.
Ooh, and I started shaking when she sat right down next to me. Ooh, her knees were almost touching mine
at Smokey Joe's Cafe.
Her chill was running down my spine
at Smokey Joe's Cafe.
Oh, I could smell a sweet perfume. She smiled at me, my heart went boom. Then everybody in the room
at Smokey Joe's Cafe,
they said, "Man, be careful, that chick belongs to Smokey Joe." So from behind the counter, I saw a man, a shelf hat on his head and a knife in his hand. He grabbed grab me by my collar and begin to shout.
You better eat up all your beans and bar and clear right on out.
Yes, I know I'll never eat again
at Smokey Joe's Cafe.
And so we'll never meet again
at Smokey Joe's Cafe.
I'd rather eat my chili beans at Jim's or Jack's or John's or Jean's than take my chances eating out
at Smokey Joe's Cafe.
Ooh, I risk my life when that Smokey Joe's a crazy fool.
Rockin' Rhythm's most notorious group for incessant personnel changes were the aptly titled Drifters, a self-created Clyde McFadder vehicle. By 1955, Clyde left the Drifters and sold his interest in the group's name to their unscrupulous manager, thus cursing the group forever as a revolving door. But in 1955, Lieber and Stoller wrote the Drifters their first of what would be many hits with the group, and 8 years later, a larger hit for Dion, the Drifters' original, Ruby Baby. '56 proved a fortunate year for Lieber and Stoller. Stoller survived the sinking of the Andrea Doria, and the biggest force in rock scored a huge hit with one of their songs. Because their innovative deal with Atlantic allowed them the freedom of producing for other labels and artists, and the success of Hound Dog, Lieber and Stoller were briefly allowed inside the most tightly guarded circle in rock and rhythm. Scoring the film Jailhouse Rock, one Lieber and Stoller song provided Elvis his proudest studio moment as he played the song's distinctive bass part. For the song's film performance, Stoller can be seen on camera at the piano. You're So Square, Baby I Don't Care, from 1957.
like crazy music. You don't like rocking bands. You just want to go to a movie show and sit there holding hands. You are so square. Baby, I don't care. You don't like a hot rod racing, driving late at night. You just want a bike where it's nice and dark. You just want to hold me tight. You are so square. Baby, I don't care. You don't know any dance steps that I knew. No one else can love me like you do, 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 do. I don't know why my heart flips. I only know it does. I wonder why I love you, baby. I guess it's just because you're so square. Baby, I don't care. Baby, I don't care. Baby, I don't care. I don't know why my heart flips. I only know it does. I wonder why I love you, baby. I guess it's just because you're so square. Baby, I don't care. Baby, I don't care. Baby, I don't care, 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 I don't care, care, care.
Nothing Screaming Jay Hawkins recorded was a hit, and I think the father of ghoul rock liked it that way. So what were Lieber and Stoller thinking when they penned their most bizarre song ever? Probably nothing more than adding to the tradition of Hawkins' demented genius, 1957's Alligator Wine. The deal with Atlantic fractured the Robins in 1955, with the two lead singers remaining with Lieber and Stoller. New members were added, and they would become the most successful vocal group in rock and rhythm, the Coasters. At once, they began churning out hits, but a lull in 1957 prompted the Coasters to have to live up to their namesake and move to New York City, where Lieber and Stoller had relocated, and the home of Atlantic. In 1958, the Coasters released a Lieber and Stoller B-side that, although failed to hit, was a stage favorite of the Beatles, Three Cool Cats.
Three cool cats. Three cool cats.
Parked on the corner in a beat-up car, dividing up a nickel candy bar, talking all about how sharp they are, these potato chips. And three cool cats did three big flips for
three cool chicks.
Up popped the first cool cat. He said, "Man, look at that. Man, do you see what I see?
I want the middle chick. I want that little chick.
Hey, man, say one chick for me."
With Lieber and Stoller pumping out hits for the Drifters and the Coasters, Atlantic's original powerhouse vocal group, the Clovers, were out in the cold by 1959 and off to United Artists. Obviously written with the Coasters in mind, Lieber and Stoller provided the Clovers with what would be their last and biggest hit, continuing their fascination with the number 9, as with the Robins' 1954 hit, Riot and Cell Block number 9. Here are the Clovers and Love Potion number 9.
I took my troubles down to Madame Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap tooth. She's got a pad on 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of love potion number 9. I told her that I was a flop with chicks. I've been this way since 1956. She looked at my palm and she made a magic sign. She said, "What you need is love potion number 9. She bent down and turned around and gave me a wink. She said, "I'm gonna mix it up right here in the sink. It smelled like turpentine and looked like India ink. I held my nose, I closed my eyes.
I took a drink.
I didn't know it was a day or night. I started kissing everything in sight. But when I kissed a cop at 34th and Vine, he broke my little bottle of love potion number 9.
I took a drink.
I didn't know it was a day or night. I started kissing everything in sight. I had so much fun that I'm going back again. I wonder what happened with love potion number 10. Love potion number 9. Love potion number 9.
Thanks for tuning in to this installment of the Rockin' Rhythm Review. My special thanks to Jim Walsh and Lester Sill. If you know QWERTY, send your email to wmat@mail.com. Richard Barrett isn't a household name, but he was one of the most ubiquitous behind-the-scenes players in the New York music scene. Periodically, he would step up to the mic, such as in 1961, when he recorded what was likely meant as a demo of a Lieber and Stoller song.
Some other guy now is taking my love away from me.
Atlantic released it in 1962, and the otherwise obscure and frankly unremarkable single grew fins and swam its way to England, where it found its way into the repertoire of every Merseybeat group there was. In fact, the biggest Merseybeat group there ever was. Here's a live 1963 recording of Some Other Guy by the Beatles.